I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Radio Times. Vice President Mike Pence was the tie-breaking vote on Tuesday when the Senate rejected a new regulation from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that would have allowed class action lawsuits against credit card companies and big banks. Now, this was not a blaring headline this week, but this vote was significant, and it pitted Senator Elizabeth Warren and consumer advocacy groups against Wall Street and the GOP. We asked Renee Merle to join us. Wall Street reporter for The Washington Post wrote about this story. Renee Merle, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what would have happened if this vote had been or this measure had been passed? What was the significance of this particular bill?
Well, the CFPB had studied the issue of arbitration clauses for several years. This is like the fine print that is included in credit card and banking agreements. Whenever you open up a credit card or a bank account, you agree that if you get into a dispute with your bank or financial institution, that you'll settle the dispute through arbitration and not take them to court. The CFPB studied this issue and decided to basically ban those types of requirements, ban requirements that you could only settle your disputes through arbitration. This would have allowed people to sue their bank, for example, or join a class action lawsuit. The significance of the Senate vote is that the Senate intervened and said, blocked the CFPB's rule from going into effect. It essentially said, never mind, to the CFPB, and, you know, stopped the rule in its tracks.
So a consumer could still use arbitration, but there's no access through a class action lawsuit.
Exactly.
You wrote that Wall Street and big financial institutions got the biggest victory since Trump became president. As you said, this was in the fine print. Again, why the significance?
The significance is that the industry and even the government estimated that, you know, lifting the arbitration requirements would have cost banks billions of dollars over the next couple of years in terms of legal fees and settlements that they would have had to reach with consumers. You know, it was just the expectation that this would have like upended the way that the industry has operated for many, many years and cost them a lot of money in court.
And was that their argument against this?
That was one of their arguments against this. They basically feel like the arbitration process works fine the way it is, that it's faster and cheaper. That way you can go into your bank and go through the arbitration process, and they'll settle the dispute, you know, quietly and much faster and cheaper than going through court. Their argument is that going through a class action lawsuit is helpful to trial lawyers who can collect, you know, millions of dollars off these cases, but not as helpful to consumers.
What's the track record on arbitration when it comes to a consumer that says that they have been defrauded in some way?
The track record is sparse, to say the least. Most people don't opt to go through arbitration. If your bank, you realize that your bank has been charging you a $10 fee over a period of time, you're not going to, you know, waste your time going through arbitration. So most people don't even bother to go. And the argument against it is that in a lot of cases, it feels like it's a system set up to support the banks rather than the consumer. Usually the bank will facilitate the arbitration. So they hire the firm that's going to be going to stage the arbitration, and they pay that person's fee. So that would tend to indicate that perhaps the consumer is not on equal footing with the bank. Whereas with a class action lawsuit, you can band together with dozens, hundreds, or thousands of people who've had similar experiences and make an argument that the bank has been operating inappropriately. It's just more powerful argument when you're banded with lots of people versus just one person with one complaint.
And what was the Democrats, what was their argument for this measure?
So the Democrats and consumer groups really lobbied hard over the last couple of months, pulled out all the stops to try to stop the Republicans from passing this measure that would block the CFPB rule. And their basic argument is that this was a get-out-of-jail-free card for big banks like Wells Fargo and financial institutions like Equifax that have gotten in trouble publicly in recent months, Wells Fargo for opening all those fake accounts, and Equifax had that massive breach. And in both of those cases, the companies use arbitration clauses. So it's much more difficult to sue them if you're a consumer, if you're a customer, than if they didn't have that.
Was this a dramatic moment when Vice President Mike Pence was the tie-breaking vote?
It was pretty dramatic. The vote had gone down to 50-50. There was lobbying up until the last minute. Two Republicans did defect. Senator Graham and Senator Kennedy both sided with Democrats on these measures. And so it really came down to the wire. And then all of a sudden, you started to see alerts that at about 10 o'clock, Vice President Pence was on his way. And he came in to deliver the tie-breaking vote.
Well, you mentioned the fact that there were two Republican senators who voted against it. But interestingly, we'll be talking more about this later in the hour. Senators Flake, Corker, and McCain voted with the Republicans to shoot down this measure.
They certainly did. I know that the Democrats and the progressive groups had targeted McCain in particular, hoping to flip his vote, but it just didn't work.
Does this go to the president for his signature, or it just the rule was shot down and that's the end of it?
No, it does go to the president next. He's expected to sign it perhaps in the next couple of weeks.
What about other rules? You wrote about payday lenders. There could be some other rules that also would come to some kind of a dramatic vote. What's at issue here?
So the payday lending industry, and as everybody knows, these are people. These are places where you can go get a short-term loan with less documentation, but the fees and interest rates charged are pretty high, much higher than you would get at a bank. And so the CFPB again has stepped in and tried to put into place some rules that the industry doesn't like. That would require them to do more work to determine whether somebody can pay back the loan that they're taking out. And eliminate what the consumer groups call the debt trap, where you take out one payday loan and then have to take out another one to pay the other one. This is obviously something the industry doesn't like and has been lobbying hard against, and they would like to see Congress to step in again and stop this rule from being put in place, from being implemented, in the same way that the arbitration rule was stopped.
Didn't some of these practices lead to the financial meltdown of a decade ago?
Oh, on payday loans in particular, it's actually been something that's been growing more recently. Payday lending is illegal in about 15 states, mm-hmm. but in the states where it's still legal, the fees can go up to 400%. It's not directly linked to the financial crisis, but it is contributes to people's bad credit scores because you can't keep up with these loans. You get behind. I heard stories of people losing their homes and their cars just because they couldn't keep up with the 400% interest rate on some of these loans.
What has been the response from Director Richard Cordray? He heads up the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
He's pretty upset. I believe what he said was that in this case, Wall Street won and consumers lost, speaking specifically about the arbitration vote by the Senate. So he's been very upset. And you have to understand that Richard Cordray has been under a spotlight, let's say, since the beginning of the Trump administration. He's one of the few financial regulators still left over from the Obama administration. His term doesn't end until next year. And Republicans have been pretty strident, asking him to either step down or be fired. They want him out of the way so they can change the direction of the CFPB and send that agency in a different direction.
Is this also death by a thousand cuts? You undo some of the provisions of the agency, of the Bureau?
It is, in a way. It certainly emboldens the critics of the CFPB. The Senate stepping in and doing this is going to, embolden the industry to challenge other CFPB rules and challenge Congress or embolden Congress to say, yeah, let's rein in this agency. This win, and it came down to a tie-breaking vote, kind of sets the CFPB up to doing more battles with Congress, Republicans, and the business community.
And is the argument that they're just, gosh darn, too many rules?
Exactly. The President Trump has made a priority scaling back regulations. He believed that these regulations strangle the economy, kind of inhibit economic growth. So he would like there, you know, and his financial regulators he's been able to put in place so far have really focused on scaling back regulations, especially regulations that were put in place in response to the financial crisis. And then on the other side, there you have the CFPB that's continued to be a very aggressive regulator. And that's kind of put them out of step with the rest of the Trump administration and put them in a spotlight, made them the target of Republicans in the business community.
What has been the response of Senator Elizabeth Warren? This bureau, this agency is really her brainchild in many ways. Now, of course, she's a member of the Senate.
There's no way for me to overstate how upset she was about this and how hard she fought to have the Senate vote the other way. She has been focused on this for months and months and, was very disappointed with the way that the Senate voted and, went on to the floor more than once that night on Tuesday night to say that the Senate shouldn't do this. She's very angry. She's also been, very public in her criticisms of like Wells Fargo and what happened there and what's happening with Equifax now. So for her, I'm not sure if it's a personal affront, but it's certainly something that's going to linger and something that she's very upset about.
Is there any way to know? We did a show about Equifax recently, but is there any way to know where the public stands on things like regulation and even this particular regulation that was shot down?
I've seen some polls, and if you put the question to people, should you be able to sue your bank? They'll generally say yes. I think Republicans and the business community would say it's much more complicated than that. It's about efficiency. It's about, taking this out of, the complicated court process and streamlining it. And they say that also this has been the way it's worked for decades and it's worked, and it does work in favor of consumers. So, yes, I think that in a public opinion poll, arbitration doesn't do very well. But I think the Republicans would say that's not the point.
We're almost out of time here. With arbitration, you just represent yourself. Is that what it is? Or do you have to get a lawyer or can you get a lawyer?
You would just represent yourself. I suppose that you could get the advice of a lawyer, but the intention of arbitration is really to, eliminate as much friction as possible. So I think that they don't encourage people to get an attorney. So, of course, you can.
Renee Merle, thanks so much for joining us today in Radio Times, bringing some clarity to a potentially complicated issue. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
And she's Wall Street reporter for The Washington Post. We're going to take a very short break and then talk about something else, whether the party of Lincoln is now the party of Trump. Stay with us. We'll be right back.